So glad to be with all of you once again. If you are visiting, my name's Matt, and it, as has been said, it really is an honor to have you as our guest. Want to also welcome those of you on the other side of the street, as well as anyone who is listening online. It's great to have this time with you. It's Labor Day weekend. And I want to talk with you about labor, about work, and what life with Jesus has to do with work. You know, research shows that on average, that we will spend a third of our lives doing our jobs. Third of your lives are spent at work. Another third is spent sleeping. So that leaves a third for everything else. Only that third for everything else also includes things like laundry and dishes and yard work and all the other tasks that occupy us through life. So really, we're probably closer to about 50% of our lives spent working. In fact, whether Labor Day is a day off for you or not, chances are you're still going to find some work to do. My first lessons about work were learned at home. My mom and dad were both hard workers and impressed upon my brothers and I the importance of work. I remember my dad telling my brothers and I when we were just kids that school is your job. Treat school like your job. Someday you're going to have a job outside of school, outside of the house, but right now school is your job. And you would think that that meant that we had Saturdays off because we didn't have school on Saturdays, but oh no. In my family, Saturdays were work days. They were days to work around the house and work in the yard. This was a big deal to my dad. He would wake us up early on Saturday morning, give us a list of chores to complete before we could take off and have fun with our friends or whatever. Cutting the grass, pulling weeds, sweeping the garage, washing the cars, watering the flower beds. I hated it. Every bit of it. But there was no use complaining. We had to do it. And I remember my dad on some mornings waking me up by shouting up the stairs to my bedroom, "Matt, we have weeds! We have weeds, Matt!" This is the family I grew up in. It was amazing. But those Saturday mornings taught me a lot about work. They taught me that there are always weeds to be pulled. Stuff you just have to do and keep on doing because it always has to be done. Those Saturday mornings taught me that work doesn't stop at 5 o'clock on Fridays. Life is full of work, and work can produce some beautiful results. Work is more than a career. It's more than just a way that we get paid. Work is what maintains the world that we live in, both our personal world, our personal lives, as well as our space around us. Work is a big deal for us. To be human is to have work to be done. And that gives work an enormous influence in our lives. So big that work will begin to influence our identity and our self-worth, our jobs, whatever those jobs might be. Whether we enjoy them or not, our jobs, we will gain from them a certain level of self-worth, of recognition in our lives. Work is an enormously important part of who we are, both in our own eyes and in the eyes of others. And because work has such an enormous place in our lives, it can take on a kind of God-like character for us. Something we are engaged in with basically half our lives. Work will define who we are, and it will shape us, and it will form us like in a potter's hands. And so it would be absurd for God to be God and to have nothing or even little to say about work. In fact, we find in God's word that he has a lot to say about it. If God has shown us through the love of Jesus that he wants us to live new lives with him, lives in right relationship with him and with one another, then there must be implications in that life with God for this 50% part of our lives that we call work. But what does the Bible tell us about work? I want you to see with me today that the Bible tells us that work can be full of meaning, full of satisfaction and significance, no matter what job you're doing. I want us to see that God has a plan for work. And in that plan, whether you are a CEO or a peon, whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, whether you're washing dishes or building bridges, nursing babies or pulling weeds, what God says about work gives every task a restored meaning and fulfillment. And if that sounds too good to be true, it's because it is not a perspective that you will find in this world. It is a way of working that is only possible with faith in God, with the reconciling work of Jesus, and with the empowerment of God's Spirit alive in us. It's an uncommon way. It is more than what this world offers to us, and it is entirely possible with God. And so on this Labor Day weekend, let's look at God's plan for work, okay? With how important it is to us, it's no surprise that we find work being spoken about by God on the very first page of the Bible. So grab your bulletins. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, we get an account of creation. It's the beginning of all things that we know. And then in verse 26, it says this, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Now that's the Trinity. When he says, let us make human beings in our image. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in cooperation together to make human beings in the image of our triune God. That's the first thing God says about us in the Bible. And here's the second. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. In the image of God, it says he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God creates humanity, and the first thing he says about us is that we are made in his image. And that means we were created as representatives, delegates, ambassadors of God in this world. Imagine yourself in your workplace believing that that is what God intended for you to be in this world. That gives us our first job description. You are more than the occupation you hold. You are more than a teacher, a doctor, a retailer, a plumber. You are meant to be a representation of Almighty God in this world. You are meant to be the only force in this world capable of representing the character of God. The only part of creation that God says he will give to you his presence and the power of his Spirit. God says you're created in his image to represent his character in all that you do. He's not made in our image. He's not who we want him to be, to do what we tell him to do. We are made in his image to be and do what he says about us. And he says that you are meant to be leaders and overseers in cooperation with God and his creation. That's the first thing God says about work, all the work that you do. Then the Bible gives us more about work in chapter 2. It's really amazing. You see work in chapter 1, chapter 2. We're going to see work in chapter 3 as well, right up in the beginning of things. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation." God works. We are made in the image of a God who works. And there are two words for work in this second chapter. One that describes God's work, and a second word for work that describes our work. The first word that describes God's work that we read there in verse 3 is specifically the work of a craftsman, the work of an artisan. God is an artisan. His work is creative work of an original product. The second word for work that we're going to see in the verses that we'll read in just a moment, we see this word is the one that is used to describe our kind of work. Look at verse 5. "Neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil." That cultivation, that's our part, to cultivate the soil, to cultivate God's creation, to cooperate with him in what he has created. We fold into God's work. He began it. He's the craftsman that began to work before we began to work, and we entered into his work to cultivate it. And so here God has been engaged in the work of creation, but there's no one to continue the necessary work required for that creation to flourish until we come in to the picture. And that's the second word for work, that word cultivate. It actually means, it's a word that means to serve. Our work is service. Our work is a supportive role to God's work. Get this, whatever work you do in this world is in some form or another a form of service. It's a service to someone or to something. That's not just true for helping careers or service industries. None of us are creating new matter out of nothing. God's work is the work of creation. Our work, though it may be creative, is ultimately service to someone or something. It may be for ourselves. It may be for profit. It may be art for art's sake. But all that we do is some form of service to something or someone. And notice one other thing from that verse 5 that we read. God's plan for our work involves something that must be given by him that we didn't bring to our job. The Bible says nothing was growing in the earth because the Lord had not yet sent water to the earth. And there were not people to cultivate the soil. So there is cooperation going there. God's plan for your work involves something he wants to provide. People could till the ground all day and have no growth unless God brought the water. Verse 6 tells us, "Instead, springs came up from the ground, watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he made." I love this. We see it again in verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. He was placed there. God placed him there. Adam didn't get himself into the garden. God placed him there. Adam couldn't get himself there. He didn't plant the garden. He didn't find the garden. God placed Adam there for the work that God gave him to do. And there's something else here for us. Some of you are trying to make something happen on your own, and you might not even be digging in the right ground. Yeah. You might need to find out where God wants to place you for the work he wants you to do in this world. And look at it this other way. Some of you are in places you didn't really plan to be, but God planned it. God placed you there for the work he has for you to do. Either way, we can pray. We can respond to God and say, God, place me where you want me to be. Help me to serve the purposes you have for me. And God, bring the water. Bring what only you can provide. Empower me to accomplish the serving work that you have for me to do. God's ideal life for us is not to stop working or to have no work to do. It's to produce wonderful, God-honoring, life-cultivating work with him. Are you trusting God to be with you at work? Are you trusting God to bring your work and to bring to your work and your workplace what only he can bring? You were made in his image. You need what your maker didn't give you. It's his to add. It's his to bring to your work. And we aren't done with Genesis yet. Remember I told you, work in chapter 1, work in chapter 2. Work in chapter 3. My dad would love the book of Genesis, I'm telling you. In chapter 3, though, we see something happen. There's a fracture in the cooperation. All the harmony that we've been talking about in 1 and 2 of working with God, that all breaks down. And this is the way that it happens. It's because it happens when people choose to, instead of trusting God and living life in cooperation with him, they're going to turn away from him and they're going to go their own way and do life without God. It's what the Bible calls the fall. People fall out of relationship with God by choosing their own way. And this is the beginning of a pattern of sin in the world. And just like the cooperation of God that God planned for us can produce fruit in the garden, sin also produces results. This verse is not in your bulletin from chapter 3, but I want you to hear it. Chapter 3, verse 17. And to the man, God said this, since you listened to your wife, I'm not preaching that sermon today, by the way. Oh, no, let me just say, though, that if you go back and read chapter 3, you'll find that part of the problem was the bad information the husband gave to the wife to begin with. So they're both to blame in this. But God says, since you listened to your wife and you ate the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, listen to this, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. Now that sounds more like the work that we more commonly talk about. All that harmony in the garden sounds too good to be true. What happened? God's plan for work has not changed, but sin will change anything and everything it touches. It is because of sin that work will be toil or sorrow or struggle. And don't make the mistake of simplifying this into a punishment for sin. God is not punishing us with work. God is declaring a truth that the corruption of sin will corrupt all that God designed for good. and choosing to go our own way apart from God's way in any area of our lives will result in deteriorating effects of sin. Greed, selfishness, broken relationships, conflict, discontentment, envy. When any of that gets into our work, the effects are miserable. We know this. We can all tell those stories. Gossip will destroy a team of coworkers. Dishonesty will destroy a business. Sin is never benign, not in your soul, not in your work. God's plan for work has not changed, but sin breaks our cooperation with God. And when that happens, our relationship with God, it breaks down. And we are kept out of God's plan for our lives and for work by our sinful patterns. But thanks be to God, there is a way for life with Him to be fully restored through Jesus Christ. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has provided forgiveness of sin, and it has provided the power to live a restored life and restored relationship with God. And even in a restored experience of work with Him. Look at how Paul explains this in Romans 12. I love these words. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. All that God has done for you, all the mercy He has shown you, all the grace He has shown you, all the love that is true of Him for you. He says, because of all of that, give yourselves to God. Make your life like a living sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. And then this is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The key word in all of that is worship. Worship. Worship is the key to realign our work with God's plan. When work feels meaningless, when I don't have the job I want, when I want to be paid more, when I have to deal with difficult people, when I retire and everybody forgets how important I was, when my success is my worth, when my fears of inadequacy keep me awake at night, when my job has become who I am and my achievements are my only value, when the deal falls through, when it's all up to me, when I want to give up, when I want to be lazy, there is a way for my life and my worth and my value and my purpose and my significance to all be restored, to be made right, to be grounded and satisfied in a relationship with my Maker, with my Creator, whose plan and purpose has not changed for me. Because of Jesus Christ, I can enter into a new life with God, and my work can get realigned with my worship. And when my work is realigned with worship, my work will flow from cooperation with God that produces results that are personally fulfilling and meaningful in this world. Here's the mistake that we often make. Those of us who believe, those of us who want a life with God, those of us who have responded to the good news of Jesus Christ and His love for us, this is the mistake we often make. We put work in one box, and we put God in another box, and we stand back. And in fact, I want to show you a diagram that kind of illustrates this. Can we see that? There's work, there's worship, there's me. I stand back and I decide, what do I need to do in the work bubble, and what do I need to do in the worship bubble, but I don't ever integrate the two. I keep them separate. and I can have great success in work, and I can be serious about my pursuit of life with Jesus. But here's the biggest problem of all with that paradigm. I'm the one making those decisions. You see? It's all up to me. And that, when we make that mistake, our work and our worship is not aligned. And I'd like to know if anyone has found lasting satisfaction and fulfillment in this paradigm. God's idea of work from the very beginning of the world was for us to work in cooperation with Him. It's a totally different paradigm that looks more like this other diagram, this one right here. There's me, there's God. I've got this relationship with God connected through my faith in Christ. I've got a life of worship with God. He's above me. And out of that relationship with God, out of that cooperative life with Him, out of my worship to God, then my work flows. My work comes alongside worship. But where am I aligned with God? I'm aligned with Him through my worship, and work flows out of that. We're aligned in worship to God, and out of that relationship will flow many things, not least of which is work. I was thinking about this, that there's a good phrase for this in our culture today. Every year, dictionaries add words that have become common. You know this? Every year, they always kind of advertise the new words that made it into the dictionary. And this year, in 2019, one of those words is the phrase screen time. How many of you have used that phrase recently? How much time we spend looking at screens. And dictionary publishers also keep track of what they call words we're watching. And there's one phrase that Merriam-Webster is currently watching, apparently. And it's the phrase side hustle. You know what a side hustle is? A side hustle isn't your main job. It's your side job. It's an extra source of income that requires you to work in quick fits of free time. It's often creative and out of the box. You have to hustle up to make a side hustle work. One definition of hustle says to be forced to move hurriedly or unceremoniously in a certain direction. I feel like that describes my life. But what if all of your work was your side hustle? Not alongside other work, but alongside worship to Almighty God. That's what we're invited to in life with Jesus, a way of life that puts work in its rightful place by restoring God to His rightful place. What if your job, all the work that you do, was just your side hustle to glorifying and worshiping the God who has a purpose and a plan for your life? What if work said less about you and more about the God you serve? What if worship began to influence how you work more than your work began to influence how you live? I'm convinced that this is one of the greatest challenges that God poses to the human race in the Bible. That in life with God, the work you do is all a side hustle to the worship that is due Him. Your worship says more about you than your work does. Because who you worship will rule and reign in every area of your life. Don't let work climb on that throne. Work is your side hustle. Only one deserves to be on that throne. When my work is a side hustle to worship, my work no longer defines who I am and what I'm worth. God does. And when my work flows out of a right relationship with God, whatever work I'm doing can be filled with new meaning and significance of serving my Maker and my Savior. Yeah, there will always be weeds that need to be pulled. And I still don't like pulling weeds. But I've come to find that pulling weeds can produce some beautiful spaces where God's creation can thrive. I don't like pulling weeds, but I like the results. And when my work is just my side hustle to worship, I can see beyond the mundane tasks, and I can see what's getting cultivated around me as I worship God. Some of you have jobs you love to do, and you know that even in those jobs, what gets done and what gets cultivated around you is a direct result of what you value most in life, what you worship. And for those of you who are working jobs because you have to, not because you want to, it's not the pattern of this world, but it's the truth of God's word that if you begin to worship, even in the most mundane and unpleasant work, God will help you to work in such a way that you cultivate a life filled with meaning and fulfillment. That's God's plan for your work. I want us to spend time before we leave worshiping. And one form of worship is praying. And so I want to pray with us, and I want to pray prayers that tell God that we're committed to Him, that we're trusting Him and asking for His help to live and to work His way. And I thought about this, how I wanted to do this. And this is what I'd like to ask you to do. I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to try it. This is what I want to ask you to do. I just want to identify different fields of work, different occupations, different kinds of jobs. And if you are in that field, that's the kind of work you do, I want you to stand up if you want to commit your work as a side hustle to worship God. If you want to make your life about worship and your work to be a side hustle to that, I'm going to ask you to stand as I mention each different field of careers and jobs. And we're just going to be a church family that group by group, we just commit ourselves to this. You willing to try this with me? All right, here we're going to start with education. School's getting started. Anybody who works in the education field, anybody who's a teacher, anybody who's a homeschooler, if you are an administrator, whatever it is, if you're in education. By the way, first, just as a dad of four kids, I just want to say thank you for the work that you do. And we're going to pray for you. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Those around you, you just, if you want to stretch your hands or whatever you want to do, let's pray for these educators. God, you are so awesome. I love, Lord, that from the beginning of time, you had things to say to us, and they were good things. You called us into life with you to cooperate with you and cultivating this wonderful world we live in. And God, we thank you for every man and woman who is standing right now, who works in the field of education. And God, I pray for these men and women. We pray together, Lord, that you would protect these teachers and administrators and homeschool parents, Lord. I pray, God, for wisdom to be given to them, for patience to be given to them. God, I pray for stability in their lives. God, I pray for every one of them, if it's a classroom or if it's an office where students or parents visit, that they would enter into those rooms and know that you are with them, that you are alive and you are real and you are powerful in these places where they work. Oh God, we thank you for our educators. We pray you bless them. I want you to stay standing, and anybody who's in the medical field, any nurses, any doctors, anybody who works in the medical field in any capacity, those of you would just stand. And the teachers around you can reach out to you and others. And let's just pray. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the medical field. All the advances that you have enabled the human race to make, God. All the work that is being done to create new ways, Lord, to treat disease and sickness. And Lord, I pray, Father, for these doctors and nurses and administrators that work in the health field. God, I pray that you would help them to work with compassion. I pray, Lord, that healing would happen, and the kind of healing that is a cooperative work, God, that they're doing what they can do, but you're bringing the water, God. You're bringing your healing power to their work. I pray for endurance in their lives. I pray, God, that with all the craziness in our insurance, all that crazy medical health plan stuff, God, you bring peace. You bring your way. You open doors that need to be open. Lord, you work in our medical field. Bless these people, I pray. Anybody from the legal field, keep standing, but anyone legal field, social services, if you're a social worker, if you work in any capacity like that. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for people whose minds are engaged in putting wrong to right. People who are searching for your righteousness, for justice in this world. God, people who sign up to help families through chaos and individuals through chaos, the social workers and those that, Lord, help place orphans in homes. God, I pray you bless them. Bless them with your peace. Bless them, Lord, with endurance and perseverance. God, I pray that everything that they would do would be filled with your righteousness and justice. Anybody in real estate, property management, property development, any building contractors or architects, God, we pray for those that deal in space and in place, because God, place matters to you. The placement of homes and the placement of businesses, all of that matters. And it doesn't just matter in an economic sense, it matters to you. Location, you want to know location, 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 read the Old Testament. It's all about land and place. And God, you can be at work in that field. You can be at work in every man and woman who deals in property. Would you teach us how to do that? Would you lead us to do that well with you? Any engineers, civil, chemical, space, JPL people, anybody who works in the engineering field, God, I thank you for these people who represent that part of your character that can take chaos and bring order to it. I thank you for the gifts that they have to engineer things and build things and figure things out that the rest of us, we have no idea how to do that. We just get to benefit from it. I thank you for them, and I pray, God, that you bless them. Lord, the way their minds work carefully and conscientiously, God, I pray, Lord, that you would also fill their thoughts with wonder about you. Would you make our engineers worshipers? Anybody in a professional trade, as electrician or a plumber or carpenter, any of those basic needs that we all benefit from, God, I pray for the professional trades in the room, God, that you would bless them. We thank you for their skills. Lord, would you teach them how to show up on the job and not just look for the problem in front of them, but look for how they can share your love with the people that they're serving. Oh, God, I thank you for people who serve the basic needs that we all benefit from. Anybody in retail, you fold shirts, it feels like, for a living. You're working selling stuff or in the restaurant business. Anybody like that? Any servers? God, we thank you. We thank you for even moments and mundane tasks when we can pray and we can worship. We thank you for the people who come to our tables and take our orders, Lord, and the patience they work with, and Lord, the grace that they have to show. And God, I pray, Lord, that there would be something about them, that every person they serve in retail or restaurant or wherever it is, God, that people would know there is something about them. The living God is alive with them. Anybody in the finance industry, bankers and advisors and accountants and any way connected to management of money, God, you know how significant a place money has in our lives. And God, I pray that you would help these men and women know that the lives they touch, Lord, are connected to the numbers they crunch. God, that they would know that they serve families and they serve this world that we live in. God, I pray that their security would consistently come from you. God, that they would be men and women of hope. And God, that they, when they would sit with people and do business and manage finances, God, that there would be more than just numbers and bottom lines, but that your kingdom would come. That they would help to generate generosity flowing in your direction. Anyone in the entertainment industry, film, television, music, gaming, God, I pray for those that work in those fields, Lord. So often they can feel like the minority in those places. So often they can wonder, how do I do this? How do I work in the entertainment industry and follow Jesus? And I pray, God, that you fill their lives with your truth. God, that you would draw them into your word, that they would know what your word says, that they would be filled with your spirit. That from there, that what they produce, Lord, light would be light and darkness would be darkness, and there would be a truth that comes from their work. I pray, God, for anyone in government, anyone in law enforcement or military, any of those, stand up. And God, we pray for your protection, for your favor on them. We thank you for who they are and what you do with them. Oh, Lord, anybody else that I didn't name, any other field, any other, just stand up. I'm not asking you to shout out. Just stand up, the rest of you. And God, listen, it's all for you. It's all for you. You are God. You are worthy of worship. Every moment of the day, it's all for you, beginning to end. And so I pray by the power of your Spirit, empower us to go out there and to be productive and be creative and be worshipers and work, God, like it's your idea, like you had a plan for us. Work in a way that inspires others to want to know you. Oh, God, just let your love flow in all that we do, and let our hands and our efforts, our jobs and our works cultivate a world that shows your glory. We surrender our lives to you. We worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen, amen.